Welcome to Big Blend Radio with your hosts, Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazine.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio with Nancy and Lisa. You know, we always get excited to talk with new authors and then photographers. Photography is an amazing, amazing field, and it goes beyond just the click of a cell phone. And today we're excited because we have an awesome photographer joining us to talk about her beautiful, fun, just it is a heartwarming coffee table book. It's called Mutts. It is out now, released September 20th, and it is by photographer Olivia Gray Pritchard, and she's based in New Orleans, one of the best cities on the planet. And she's joining us, but I encourage you to go to her website, OliviaGrayPritchard.com. So Olivia, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi, Nancy and Lisa. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited because we love your book.
Like, I love
seriously.
It. Yes.
Oh, thank you.
We've been dog people since any of us could crawl, right?
Yeah.
There's never been a time without animals in our lives. They're all rescues. They all just come into your life. All of them. And then as we travel on our Love Your Parks tour across the country, we pet sit. COVID just kind of, we do a lot of tourism work, and COVID kind of spun this dial. And next thing you know, we started like pet sitting as part of our way of travel. And it's not about money. It's all through a site called Trusted House Sitters. And they came on our radio show, and then they're like, well, why aren't you doing this? And we're like, we don't know. We should do it. And it's the best thing ever. We have the biggest pet family on the planet, and majority of them are rescues. And people that are very nervous about leaving their pets home because they're newly rescued. A lot of people got them during COVID. And so what I love, Nancy, too, going through your book, these beautiful pups, their little faces, they're all mixed breeds, and the captions are amazing and fun.
I love it because
everybody is so breed centric, and I love that you do this because I think I just think of our big pet family that we have, and majority, I'd say like 75% are all rescued mutts, and they have like such little strong characters, you know, strong.
They're awesome. I'm sitting with a, not a dog mutt. What do you call a cat mutt?
A mutt cat.
I don't know. Does mutt have to be dog specific? I don't know,
but
I know we're waiting for the cat one. Tell us about your journey with the mutts, because I'm so glad you did a book, because no one's like, you know, there's and most of the time when it's about fostering or looking at animals that are rescue or mixed breed, they all look, you know, like we're dying in the shelter. You know what I mean?
So right. This is really like
you showed their resilience. Yeah. Their character, who they are.
Right. Well, so it was my sister actually who recommended, we do pet portraits in our studio. She's my studio manager, and I have a portrait photography studio here in New Orleans where I exclusively work with babies and children and pets. And so she loves when we do pet sessions for clients and make albums and books for them. And she suggested that I do like a coffee table book of dog portraits. And so at first I was kind of like, oh, that's nice, you know, but then the more I thought about it, I was like, you know what? I could do that. And so I ended up doing some research because, you know, I didn't want to not have something unique to add to the body of work that's out there already. There are some gorgeous coffee table books of dog portraits, really beautiful ones. But they are all either of purebred dogs and dogs who model, you know, like that's what they do professionally. They're in commercials and other things like that. Or they're show dogs, or there might be a few like mixed breeds mixed into that book if they're especially striking or something, but it, you know, it's dedicated to beautiful dogs as opposed to any, you know, specific type of dog. And then there are some books that are specifically for like pit bull mixes, or, mm-hmm. you know, people who have taken a love to a specific type of mixed breed dog. So a pit bull mix is a really popular one. And there are so many of those available for adoption. And so I loved that, but there really wasn't I wanted a fine art coffee table book, and there wasn't one of just mutts. And so I felt like that was something new that I could offer. And beyond that, all, you know, same with me, I've always had a dog since before I was born. My parents had a rescue border collie mix that my mom found. And so there's always been a dog in my life, and it's always been a rescue. When we were ready for a dog, you know, we knew it was a long-term commitment, and, you know, my family's okay, we're going to go to the shelter and find a dog. And it was never a question of we're going to buy a breed of dog. And so I think that that really helped shape how I see pets in general. And ownership of pets, taking responsibility for an animal's life. But beyond that, I think that mutts are amazing animals. They're amazing dogs. They are so loyal and devoted because you've rescued them, you've saved their lives, you've taken them off the streets or out of the shelter. But then also, when you think about it, you're saving two lives when you adopt or foster a dog, because you're saving the life of the dog that you're adopting, but you're also saving the life of the dog that's able to take that space at the shelter, because there's always limited space at shelters and rescues.
Good point.
And so when you empty a space, that's another life being saved and being able to be cared for until that dog's ready to be adopted. So it's a chain of events, I feel like, but I really wanted to celebrate mutts, how funny they are, how quirky they are, and how they have just as many desirable qualities and traits as a purebred dog does.
Absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, don't see a difference. I don't care about, oh, the ears should be pointed just this way and the tail must be that. I don't care. I really don't. It's about the dog's personality and who the dog is. And
I agree with you on that, but I will say, like, even if you do care about those things, you can find a dog like that at the shelter. My dog Jasper is very striking. I mean, everywhere we go, I mean, despite the fact that he's 120 pounds, that automatically makes him draw attention.
But I guess. Jeez.
Yeah, he's a beautiful, beautiful animal. And and just the way that his markings are, he's gorgeous. And I cannot tell you how many, over 10 years, how many thousands of people have stopped me to ask what breed he is and where did he come from. So even if you do want a really striking, beautiful, you know, specific looking dog, those are also available at the shelter. Even purebred dogs are available at the shelter if that's what you want.
Absolutely.
So yeah.
Yeah, I love it, because I think you really captured the essence of the soul of the dog. And, you know, and, you know, I have to take photos of dogs every time, or any of the pets that were chickens, I mean, tortoises, donkeys, you know, guinea pigs, as we're pet sitting.
Yeah.
And but this has gotten to being like a thing, because they don't really want like the phone in their face.
I hate it.
Animal photography. And I really respect what you do. Nancy is a wildlife artist who's also done a gazillion pet portraits. And then, you know, you have to photograph. And so pet photography is an art and science and a level of it just doesn't happen in 5 seconds. Sometimes it does. And that's great. But it's that is like a whole, that's like trying to do a model photography and the model is scared.
Yeah.
Right. Or just annoyed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Annoyed is a good one.
I used to do fashion shoots for like boutiques and for advertising stuff, right? Not really high end stuff, not like, you know, what you're doing, but it would be like, okay, everybody have champagne. That was my only vice. Like, everybody just have some champagne, put some music on, relax. It's all good in the hood. Not saying that everybody should drink champagne before being photographed, but it worked.
Right. It doesn't. Yeah. It's a nice doesn't social hurt. Lubricant. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't do that with dogs.
No, but
no.
Pets don't like something pointed in their face.
Yeah. They especially don't. If they're rescued and they have background situations, like, you know?
Right. So, I mean, there was definitely some, you know, it was a whole process because, again, these are not model dogs. These are rescue mm-hmm. dogs. Most of them have never been photographed with a camera before, mm-hmm. You know, with an actual, like, you know, black box camera and not a phone. Mm-hmm. And so there were a few that were scared of the flash. So yeah. we had oh, yeah. to adjust the lighting for them. There were a few that were scared of, there was one that was actually scared of the camera, the actual mm-hmm. black box, even mm-hmm. though I'm not in their faces, I'm a few feet away from them, but he was just not okay with it. And so in that mm-hmm. case, you know, I've got to back up really far away, adjust my lighting and change my lens so that mm-hmm. I can still get a similar, you know, focal length of what I want from this dog, but I'm mm-hmm. now 12 feet away from him instead of 3. Exactly. And so there were different adjustments that we had to make for certain animals. But I would say for the most part, you know, animals and kids are the same. They come to you really open and honest with their feelings and their intentions. And they are expressing the same from you. And mm-hmm. so if you let a dog come in, I scheduled them all for 1 hour increments because I knew I only needed one image, but I didn't know if the dog needed 45 minutes to get comfortable in the space. And so some dogs came in, immediately did what we wanted, and were done in 5 clicks of mm-hmm. my shutter and finished in 10 minutes. And then some needed 45 minutes to sniff around the space before they would finally lay down in yeah. the studio and then I knew
I'm
they
just
were
gonna say someone peed, right? You know they did.
Somebody oh yeah, there's definitely pee and poop. Less than I would have thought, actually, with a 112 dogs in 2 months.
Well, that's a male thing.
But less than I would have thought.
Wow. This is, you know, it's so amazing because I'm looking at your history and background as a photographer, which going in, you know, thinking about going in the UN in combat zones as a photographer, and you've got to think about that also as a woman, like, you know, people go like, what are you doing going out in combat zones? Mm-hmm. And now you're playing with puppies and babies. I think you went from one extreme to the other. I mean, that's got to have been what was that like going out in as a woman photographer?
So a lot of people have asked me that, you know, I think a lot of it was being aware of my surroundings and trying not to take unnecessary risks. But, I wasn't alone. I wasn't freelancing or anything like that. I had, you know, protection of the organizations that I was working with. And so while, you know, some situations and some places certainly did have a level of danger, I think mostly, I did feel pretty secure. There are only a few times where I really, really, really felt like I could be in a tricky situation. And luckily those times, you know, I ended up safe in them. So, but I wouldn't say that it's like huge extremes because I know it seems that way, but I'm always looking to connect with my subjects, whoever they are, people or animals. I'm always looking for connection between my subjects and then between me and my subjects. And I'm always looking for ways to tell a story with a still image or a series of still images. And so I have always loved kids and pets since I was very young. You know, we've always had animals, but then also I was always babysitting or, you know, mm-hmm. teaching a little class at a mommy's day out program when I was in college, things like that. And so kids have always been a very happy place for me. And mm-hmm. so even when I was overseas, I would find myself very drawn to the children and seeing their interactions with their families and seeing the ways that, you know, we love and care for our children. There are so many commonalities across cultures and continents and geography. And so I wouldn't say that it's, you know, the hugest change, given that I have definitely always really loved telling human stories and really seeing with pets how, you know, how we can feel connections with them, even though they're different species. So that's always, I think, been a common theme through my work. And I always knew I would eventually work for myself. That's just, I'm just best suited to that for the type of personality that I have.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you've definitely, you talk about personality. I think what you've done with the photos, you look at the dogs and you connect with the soul. Nancy always talked about the eye and the soul, right? Nancy's like,
oh yeah.
As an artist and photographer, you want to capture those eyes.
You have to be able to connect with the eyes to see the soul.
So
when you get an animal or a person who always looks down, you know something's wrong somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know something's bad has happened to them, and you have to establish a trust. I was thinking of it as a bridge to where they can finally lift their eyes to you and feel equal and not afraid. You know, and that takes time. It takes time. So, you know, I look through your book, I'm like, okay, it's cool because I cannot go and say, oh, that one was scared and that one was nervous. They all look happy. So I compliment you on that because that's a real accomplishment.
Yeah, especially in the studio.
That's so nice. Nobody has really like brought that up yet. I hadn't really thought about it.
That was
there
are the
definitely
for us.
Some of the dogs who are nervous, but it's about having it's about being confident, but also being, you know, just really open
they
and honest with them, accepting them as who they are with no expectations and, you know, no preconceived notions about what they should be doing.
And letting them be them. That's what I got.
Exactly.
Yeah. And obviously pet parents are hanging out with you and they know their parents are there and it's like, okay, we're going on this little escapade, you know. That's what I was saying, because even as, you know, when we pet sit, it's like, okay, honestly, to me to get a good photo, I have to bring the camera out because then I can have distance and let them be, and I can capture animals in all their crazy positions in their natural settings. But as soon as you put a phone in their face, they're like, screw you, man.
No, because you
I've lost all my trust now. Don't do that. Don't put
no,
it in the face, you know.
Dude, I hate it.
I know,
like,
but it's like,
I want to hit it like it's a mosquito or
you
something.
You can lose all the trust with the animal you're taking care of by putting your phone in their face.
I know that's true.
And that's
my dog
people
and my
too.
Toddler hate it.
Yeah, exactly.
I hate
people,
it.
And if anybody did it, well, somebody did years ago, years ago when I was like, not even maybe 20 something, 22. I used to smoke cigarettes. Sorry, everybody. And I got caught smoking a cigarette and I used to work in a mall with musical organs. And I went out for a cigarette break at the front of the mall in Pensacola, Florida, not far from New Orleans. And I was smoking behind this bush because I didn't want people to know, like, especially my music students. But of course, like, not that anybody could not smell it on me, but whatever.
Exactly.
I was young and dumb and behind there. And some guy came and took a photo of me and ran. And I was like, what the hell? So what did I do? And this other guy that I was working with, we chased him because I was like, what are you doing taking a photo?
Funny.
He goes, no, because you had this, like, I'm not supposed to be doing it. Look. Like he caught it and he was using it for a college thing. And I'm like, well, you could have just talked to me instead
then
of
don't run,
run
away was, and be creepy.
It would totally
yeah,
creepy.
But then,
and I was
but
like,
then if he had told you first, you wouldn't have had the right.
He would
expression.
Have lost the shot because it was
exactly.
about
That's
me
true.
Totally having that total guilt look. of knowing.
That is true. Mm-hmm. And I get that, but also, oh my God, yeah, that's such a violation. Creepy. And that definitely would not, that's I feel, creepy. I do feel like the culture of like street photography has changed a lot over the last couple of decades. And that, I do not feel like that would fly nowadays.
Yeah. It wasn't digital, because we didn't have digital then. That now I'm dating myself. Right. But I want to go to like the fact that, you know, we talk about their eyes and everything. So I have to bring up chicory. Okay. So I love that you put in their mixed breeds, and you know, there's another dash of something in there, but you put in their breed mix. Right. And you've caught their personality so well. And then you just have like one caption. And I think there's something, I mean, as magazine people, we know
that's hard.
Overdo the text. Oh God, help us. You know, there's like, there's some people love really in-depth things, and that's great. And we do that too, because they really do. And it depends on what you're reading, but you captured the essence for people to immediately have a feeling. And chicory, so not chicory is not staring in your face. Chicory is an English pointer cross Doberman pincher, and she's looking away, and the caption is fart audibly, and she looks like she knows she just did it. And that is the coolest photo, because we've also learned certain dogs that do fart, if you go and make a fart noise by their butt, they look to see if they did it.
And oh, so we have experimented with that.
They're so funny about that.
I know, because if you go and you touch their butt and make a fart noise, they look at themselves like, I didn't know he did that. Who did it?
Who did it? That's so weird. Because it's so funny, because we'll hear dogs fart, like, because as we pets said, we're in our production mode. And we'll sit and dogs and cats and whatever is hanging. We haven't had a snake hang on us yet, but we've met them as we've done this. But, you know, it's like they'll fart and you'll go, hey, you just did that. And they'll look at you and go, I know. Some are proud. Point? It's kind of like human beings, right? I'm proud. Yeah. I'm like, dude, did I do that? And then some they look at their butt, they know they did it, and get away. And
they wag
from
their tail
smell.
Like, oh, at last, it's out.
Oh, yes. That was a good one.
Good for me. So, hey, Olivia, I'm sorry. You have to come on the show. We're going to talk about rescuing, dogs, but we have to go.
Cats fart, but they don't do it like dogs are like, ooh, I just did that, wag their tail. And they're
cats
all happy.
Are silent and
cats
silent.
Are silent and deadly.
Silent and violent.
Yeah.
I've never had an indoor cat, so I cannot say that I can compare those, but I do think it's hilarious when dogs do it. And I think it's so funny too when they like wake themselves up, and there's my pug. I used to have a pug, and he would wake himself up.
Oh God,
up
pugs. Oh my God.
Pugs are so
yeah, they're a gassy kind of dog.
But they're gassy from their nose too. Like it's like, well, are you farting or snorting? Like which one is it?
They have to snort so much extra air just to breathe. Of course it's going to come out somewhere.
Okay.
I mean, they used to be a wolf, and we did that. Humans, we made wolves into pugs. What the heck?
But no, okay, so you got Chicory. Now, in the book, Chicory is looking at Elvis, and Elvis is a Chihuahua cross Basenji. And Elvis is like looking at your face, like Elvis is passionately dislikes UPS and FedEx trucks. I know so many dogs, Gus Bucket and Madison, Gussie. This is for you. I want every person we've pets that you've got to have this book. You have to, because all your dogs are in here. I don't care if they're purebred or not, your dogs are in here.
Yeah.
That face is so cute. You've really outlined this book in a way that I mean, it's just perfect. It is absolutely amazing.
I wanted it to feel minimalist when you're flipping through it. The other coffee table books that are out, you know, there's a lot of text about either, you know, creating the image or what the dog was like in the studio. And I really wanted this to have things specific to their personalities. And that wasn't even originally part of the book. Originally, it was just going to be their name and their you know, best guess of their breed mix. And then, you know, in the first few dogs there, I'd chat with their owners while they were there for their session. And, you know, they'd tell me something funny or something, you know, and I think, gosh, there needs to be a way to put this in. And so I thought, you know, let's do that for each dog, something unique. And, you know, a lot of times the owners would tell me, you know, a lot of stuff, and we would just have to rewrite it to make it a pithy comment as opposed to like two paragraphs long. Yeah. But I didn't want it to mar the minimalist look that I was going for in the book. And so
we had to
work it to be a certain way, but I'm so happy. I feel like that just totally changed the tone of the book completely by adding those and made it have so much more ability to connect with the reader.
Yeah, there's a gap, you know, there needs to be a bridge. Some people already have a natural bridge to animals, some people don't. And so I think it helps when you form a bridge between the animal and the person, because it's a learning experience to form a bridge with an animal. It takes some kind of empathy and time to really understand that this is a living, I almost said living human being, because to me they are human. I know, because what makes us so above them? Nothing. So gonna get in trouble. But I just feel like they have as much right to live here in peace and harmony as we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so
given that we have bred them, I do think we have a responsibility to them.
And absolutely.
I think that, you know, as a species, and I think that the unwanted pet epidemic that plagues our country, you know, over half a million dogs are euthanized a year.
It's so
that's
stupid.
Over 500,000 a year. And
that's
it's
disgusting.
Not a super complicated problem to solve. Spay, neuter, and, you know, stop backyard breeding.
No,
those are the two big things we need to do. And we do have a responsibility to do them, because if there would be no dogs if we had not made them into man's best friend.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. And, you know, and going into the breeding and the backyard breeders, I know people that are major dog lovers and didn't understand the world of backyard breeding, thinking, oh, my friend loves dogs. I'm like, no, they're just trying to make a quick buck. And conditions of what happens, it's the same things of how lions are being bred in fake sanctuaries in South Africa.
Right.
Same thing. And they come out with so many deformities.
Exactly, because they're breeding into the same family.
It's what's great. We're seeing a lot of the pet shops being closed down. Like, you know, you can't buy dogs and cats in California anymore from a pet store. And I remember buying all the cats from a pet store in South Africa when I was a little girl. I wasn't a little girl, I was a teenager. And I'm like, my friend
here
started
she comes
there.
With
he's like, these cats are dying. So I'm like, okay, I'll come and buy them. And I kept coming. He's like, you need to keep coming. And I mean, all my money is, you know, went to them, and I was nursing them, and they were dying from liver things and all. There was like I could not save them.
Feline AIDS.
It was this thing.
Right.
They were selling them. Oh, these are pure breed. This is this.
No,
and that.
They weren't pure anything.
It was terrible. But so that society did it. And I mean, I remember in California when we lived in Southern California, we had people go in our vacant lot trying to steal the desert. We were outside Joshua Tree. These are desert iguanas to sell them to pet shops.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been through all of that kind of, it's horrible. And the same thing happens with dogs. Yes, man's best friend. But we need to really realize, like, these are beings. These are lovely animals. I mean, when a dog dies, right, and you've got Phoebe Cakes, we have to talk about that. Michelle Dumont was on our show just a few days ago. Phoebe Cakes. Oh, but when we lose a dog, cat, horse, you know, these, you know, it is devastating. because they are family. They truly are that Absolutely. Close to you. So when we have that feeling, we've got to realize to really take care and not, I think the spay neuter, I think you've got a good strong message on that, that we need to, just like with cats, what's going on with all the feral cats.
Exactly.
We have to spay, neuter, and stop this backyard breeding. I think it's getting
we caused the problem. They didn't.
Right.
We did it. We caused it.
Right.
In all our intellect and our compassion or whatever you want to call it, we caused it. We need to solve it. And it's not by putting the animals to sleep.
Exactly. There should not be a plague of unwanted animals in the first
absolutely.
Place.
Absolutely. It's disgusting and shame on us. Shame on us.
Uh-oh, you're getting Nancy on a rant.
I know, it just drives me crazy.
I know, she's going to be Lewis Black at any day. She gets called Lewis Black all the time, but the comedian. But I wanted to say this. Nancy said today, we were talking about this, that the book, if you're having a bad day, open your book.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Because
I think I feel like it's, like it the makes best me gift smile. Somebody who's in the hospital or
yeah,
who's
it makes
stuck
me
at
smile.
Home in quarantine or mm. who is going through a rough patch. But then it's also the perfect gift for a housewarming or a birthday or a holiday mm-hmm. or just mm-hmm. a pick me up for somebody who's difficult to find things for. I was saying to somebody yesterday, the best compliment that I've gotten so far, besides all of the people sending me videos of their kids looking through it and laughing and loving it, which I think is adorable. Cool. It's so sweet. But the other thing was one of my mom's friends bought 3 copies, and she said that she told my mom that she was going to give them to her friends because she is not a dog or an animal person. And she was just going to support me and buy 3 copies and give them away. And then she got them in the mail and looked through it. And then she told my mom that she was going to keep one because it was so good and she loved it so much. And so I said, well, okay, if somebody who really doesn't feel a close connection or care too much about animals and is not a dog person loves it enough to keep it, well, that is also saying that, you know, we've reached an even wider appeal.
Well, no, I think it's about that character because you really nailed the character with it. Like when you're talking about the minimalist approach on this, you get to the heart of it without let everybody else have their own like story. And, you know, it's like a really good book allows you to co-create the story. The same like, you know, it's in all of the arts, the artist is not dictating what you should see. The artist is creating the portal for you to co-create and feel, and it's a personal mm-hmm. experience. It's got nothing to do with anybody else but what you get from it. And every time you look at a painting, a photograph, or listen to a piece of music, you may feel or see or feel something completely different, right? And I think this book is that way, because every time I look at Chicory, I'm going to go, all right, you know, like, what's the sound today? You know, and that look, like, oh, it was like, it's like humor and horror at the same time. I did that, you know. It's like this really,
when you look at a dog or a cat, their eyes are straightforward as ours are. So you're looking directly into their face. How can you ignore that? And so the photos of the dogs, they're looking straight at you, eyes forward. It's not like looking at a horse or a sheep or animal that has eyes at the side. And I'm not discounting those animals at all, because that's up to us to learn to look at that as well. As human beings, we're supposed to embrace and be stewards of the earth, not destroyers of it. I'm just trying to remind people. But but dogs and cats look straight at you. And they look at you and sometimes you feel like they're judging you, like, well, you're a real whatever, or I love you, you know, there you can
see. I do. And I feel like there's the occasional dog. If you look through the book and find Butters, she's a pit bull mix. She was very, very petite. Her eyes are very light and just gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And her expression and her body language, mm-hmm. and her eyes, to me, it just felt like she was, mm-hmm. staring into my soul. Like, I just, if she had not been already adopted, if she had been one of the foster dogs that came in, I would have taken her home that day. She was that amazing. And you know, sometimes you just have that like karmic connection with a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think that's the beauty where people can hopefully go. We had like
19 cats one time, and one time we had how many dogs? Dude, we had so 20, many.
Sorry, 18, 20.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy, but that's on big properties. But they are all part of family. And Gracie howls hello for her humans, or to her, mm-hmm. humans. We pets had a husky,
Hootie.
And no, not Hootie, no. And this is in Seattle.
I know who you're talking about. Okay,
yeah. And this dog was going through a lot of pain and suffering and going towards her, and it was a very special relationship of having to pick her up and through her pain, but we
help
had this communicate. Yeah. Communicate through eyes, and she knew where my bedroom was to howl towards that so I could come get her at 2 a.m. and move her. It's a long story, but this dog,
she's sweet,
meant the world. And yet if she walked, she was okay, you know, because and huskies and malamutes and this kind of breed are used to being their pack animals and they're used to moving,
mm-hmm.
but she would howl to everybody, mm-hmm. in the street. And if her back legs went down, I'd pick them up, you know, and walk her, and she would get better and better. But she literally would howl. Like, there'd be someone, mm-hmm. just parking their car, and she'd look at them, howl, hello. And then one day, mm-hmm. there were two crows sitting on a dumpster, mm-hmm. in the back alley. And she looked at the crows and howled hello to them. And I'm like, almost started crying, because I know, like, this dog is
so sweet.
She's on her way out. And I'm doing everything I can for her to be painless. And yet she's sitting there creating this joy of, hello, mm-hmm. hello, you know,
I'm over here.
No way. This dog was like, it was an experience I'll never, ever, ever forget her.
Yeah. And it's hard when a dog is
I think that's
mobile.
The thing.
That's really
all
hard.
These little stories you've managed to tell through visuals and short, like lizard lover. I mean, we know dogs that sit and put them outside and that's all they're doing is bouncing, and they manage to bounce without taking a running step. They just literally bounce up and down, you know, after lizards. And so you've really, really got, you know, obviously you have a connection with their parents, you know, and you've done an amazing job. And I know this is going to help people to look at adopting and looking at the situation of dogs,
and
because
being
you
more,
can't look at this without being
and
touched.
Being more human towards
you.
What we,
I think so,
you know,
too.
You, not being
and
looking
I think,
down on animals. We shouldn't look
right.
down on them as if
and
they're
I think
lesser.
Dogs, I mean, yeah, I think dogs are, especially rescue dogs, they are, I said something similar to this in the opening of the book. They are really kind of a study in forgiveness and letting go, mm-hmm. of the past,
oh, yeah.
and, you know, mm-hmm. living in the moment. And even when they do have pain like that husky did, they're able to, I don't know if compartmentalize is the right word, but it seems like they're able to find joy in the moment, regardless of the situation. If they feel, you know, if they feel safe, they're able to find joy in a moment, you know, maybe no matter how they're feeling physically. And I really think that's amazing that, you know, even when dogs are feeling terrible, even when they're starving or they're being rescued or they've got Demodex mange or whatever,
yeah.
you know, these dogs that you see coming into the shelters, and they're still wagging their tails. I mean,
they're,
I think that's
giving. They're
so
giving,
much. Right?
They have a
resilient.
They're giving. I mean, cats have a different personality. I love them too, but mm-hmm. dogs have. I know as a kid, I had a really not perfect upbringing. And if it wasn't for the dogs that we had, I don't know what I would have done. They were always, always on, at your side, lick your face, lick your tears, and help you and say, come on, you can do this. You can do this. And they were right. always, they were always there. Mm. They were loyal.
They are loyal.
They were loyal.
And look at all the farm dogs, Nancy, that go walk the perimeter of the farm in the mornings, like through pet sitting. Mm-hmm. There's dogs that will walk you mm-hmm. through. You they know, oh, it's duty time. This is the chore. Mm-hmm. And you go out and you as pet sitters, you carry the routine of the pet parents mm-hmm. as much as you can. You know, you try to replicate so the animals feel, you know, relax, this is how our life is, and nothing's really changed. I've got different people here, but they're continuing the same thing so that they're chilled out. They are naughty, though. They know the parents are away, because and they will try. Some will go for snacks, double time, all of that kind of stuff. So there's shenanigans for sure, which is so cool, and it's so much fun. But they're that loyalty, like what you're talking about, Nancy, they'll walk with you. Like, mm-hmm. we're doing this. We're going to check. Is there a hole in the fence? Is there this? Was there a predator last night? Like, seriously, amazing mm-hmm. stuff. But I want to go back to you talking about how they care. Birdie, the Doberman, Catahoula, mm-hmm. Shepherd, Schnauzer. Birdie loves to swim and be a foster mom to rescue puppies. Like, come on, Birdie. Yeah. Look at Birdie's face.
Birdie,
y'all.
She's such a special, special girl. She was a foster fail. That foster mom, or that mom, her human mom, is really involved in one of the rescues here, Take Paws Rescue. And she just had that litter, and Birdie was just so special to her that she kept Birdie. And Birdie is just the most perfect mommy to really, you know, either sickly or very, very young orphaned foster puppies. She's perfect. Mm. She's so gentle with them. It's so sweet.
All these different organizations, that's one thing with the book, is that part of the proceeds benefit different organizations, right?
Right. So we initially did a Kickstarter to help fund the first steps of the book and the design and going towards the printing and stuff like that. So part of those proceeds went to three of the local rescues or shelters here mm-hmm. that were really, That's really nice. Helpful in finding us really great dogs for the book. And nice. Then we now, like every sort of book event or signing that I'm doing coming up, when possible, we're kind of simultaneously doing an adoption event or something similar, nice. Where we actually, you know, have dogs and puppies there at the event, which is really fun. And then, like, for example, Take Paws is actually throwing a book launch party. Some of their partners and supporters got together, and you know, we're having a book launch party where people can come and get their books, and then part of my proceeds from sales of that evening of selling the signed books will go to the rescue. So awesome. There's a lot of ways to do it, and it's really fun to sort of be creative and think about ways that not only can we get them cash, but also let's get them some visibility. Let's get these dogs some visibility. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool. Mm.
I think you've definitely, I mean, the cash part, like you're saying, is important, but I think you're creating such a big awareness, and it's through love, because how can you not get attached when you look at the pups in the book? So I think you're doing such a good job of that and showing like how beautiful and how cute and, you know, sassy, or, you know, all of them have a different personality. So you've really brought them to life, and you're doing amazing work. I hope you do another one. But this is going to be our go-to for every bad day. We're going to be looking at your book. So everyone, mm-hmm. it's called Mutts. Yeah. It's an awesome coffee table book out, and you can go to OliviaGrayPritchard.com, and that's Gray, G-R-E-Y, and Pritchard with a T mm-hmm. in there. I got to do that, because yep. you never know. It could be, is it E or A? Which one is the color? We don't know.
Right.
I don't care.
It's the British one.
Exactly. And so everyone, go check it out. And of course, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a true pleasure having you on the show, Olivia, and looking
at
your amazing work.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, I love being here. Thank you so much for talking about the book.